2 Chronicles 7, let's read verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Well, we're almost at the end of 2020. Not there yet, but almost. You know, the number 2020 reminds me of our eyesight. They tell us if we have 2020 eyesight that we have perfect vision. But as we approach the end of 2020, I would have to say that our nation and the church as a whole did not do too well in the eye test this year. COVID-19 should have humbled us, as did the terrorist attack, for a short time at least, on September of 2001. And I guess that was September 11th, wasn't it, 2001. You know, I actually heard news reporters on September 11th, 2001. I actually heard news reporters interviewing people and talking about praying for them, like, our prayers are with you. That is normally not the words you hear out of a journalist at all. But that's what we heard on 9/11. And before the afternoon was over, the news were announcing churches are calling people to come to the church house and pray. And was that a Tuesday? Anyone remember? It was a Tuesday. Okay. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because oftentimes the prayer meeting is the first service that's let go, you know. And then the Sunday evening is the next one. And then a lot of churches, it's just the Sunday morning service is all that's left. But on that occasion, on that Tuesday night, churches all over America were calling their people to come and pray. But on this occasion in 2020, when the coronavirus started, I actually saw advertised churches, I don't know if it was on their signs or if it was on the computer, but it said, love your neighbor as yourself, please stay home. I thought, what a contrast. On September 11th, they were calling people to come to church and pray. In 2020, they were asking people to stay away from the church building. And the result, of course, was that many people died. Many people died on 9/11, but more than that died this year from the coronavirus. And many of them died alone. And many of them died in their sin and went to hell. If you hold your place here with me, let's turn to Jude, book of Jude, in verse 13. Jude 13. You know, I think in many ways God was trying to wake up our nation. And, you know, maybe a few people woke up, but as a whole, I haven't heard about any big revivals breaking out. Maybe you have. Well, I haven't, but in Jude 13, it says, raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved what? The blackness of darkness, how long? Forever. Wandering stars. Just think of a star wandering around in space and the blackness and the darkness. That's what the people are like in hell. Wandering stars in the blackness of darkness forever. Well, what should have happened to America? What should have happened to the church as a whole? Well, let's go back to 2 Chronicles 7 in verse 1. What should have happened? Number one, we should have come to the Lord in prayer. We should have come to the Lord in prayer. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, and then the fire came down. We'll look at that in just a moment. I think there wasn't there one, at least one like call to national prayer during this coronavirus. It seems like the president talked about that, yes. But it should have been so much more, but it wasn't. So in this instance here, of course, chapter 7 is the temple dedication. And the chapter started out with Solomon praying. And whenever there's any dedication to God, that's just the natural thing, isn't it, to start out in prayer. And this here, this chapter starts out in prayer, and that really should be not just for us in the time of pestilence, but that should be our everyday occurrence, shouldn't it? We should start out in prayer. If you hold your place once again, let's turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. As we're just thinking a few thoughts about the end of this year, 2020. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there what? Prayed. So the Lord Jesus, he was so busy, sometimes up so late, healing people, meeting people's needs, and he got up early in the morning, and that's what he did. He went out to pray. And that should just be the normal thing for us each day as well. Starting out a day in prayer and starting out the new year in prayer. You know, this year has been a year just filled with turmoil all over. And, you know, most people probably do not start out the day in prayer. Probably in this day and age, most people start out in the morning looking at their telephone first. I'm guessing, just a guess. But that's probably what happens. You get up in the morning, see who's texted them, see who's emailed them, instead of going to the Lord in prayer and reading in the Word. And, well, you know how most people will start out the new year tomorrow night if they stay up that late. They'll be at a party somewhere. And for a lot of them, they'll be drinking alcohol. They'll be dancing. That's how they'll start out. So on New Year's Day, which technically would be right after midnight, many of them are going to be under the influence of alcohol. They're not going to be thinking straight. But you know, it's not just New Year's Day. The unsaved person, really, technically, are not thinking straight every day of their lives, because if they knew what was awaiting them, they would get right with God, because they're under judgment the moment they die. They're already condemned, so they're not thinking right. I've noticed with me in Psalm 14. Psalm 14. That's basically the way they live their whole lives. In Psalm 14:1. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, what? There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are what? All gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And so that's the way they live. They live, as it said there, verse 3, they are all gone aside, they're all together become filthy. That's the way they live before God. They live a life with filthy thoughts. They live a life with filthy actions. It's all around us. And that, the response to this coronavirus this year, the pestilence, a pestilence is an infectious, contagious disease. Maybe some would say deadly disease. But that's what coronavirus has been. And I just heard today there's a couple, well, there's another strain of it in a couple different places, a couple different countries now. So, but it reminds me so much of the book of Revelation when God's going to plague this world. And you know what the response is going to be? Well, what kind of a response have we seen in America? It's like right now, a lot of people are shaking their fist at God. Notice with me in Revelation chapter 9. The overall response to coronavirus has been the exact same as it will be in the tribulation period. Most have not repented of anything they've been doing. Revelation 9:20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by what? These plagues. How many have been killed by coronavirus? Well, they've messed up the numbers just to try to get more money from the government. And they're not taking into account how many people every year die from the flu. I understand that. But there are normally a lot of people every year that die from the flu. It's just not broadcast like this virus has been for whatever reason. So verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet what? Repented not of the works of their hands. You think right in the middle of coronavirus, the township in which we reside approved two more liquor joints. Right in the middle of a time when we should have been in prayer and fasting and crying out to God for his mercy, what are we doing? We haven't repented a bit of the drunkenness. And even Christians, even professing Christians, voice their approval for these two new liquor joints. So, those which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither what? Repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. How many people do you think right now that are just living with someone of the opposite gender, or for that matter, we're in such a vile age, living with someone of the same gender in an immoral situation? How many of those people do you think repented this year? How many of those people do you think saw what was happening and thought, you know what? The Lord's return is nigh. I better get saved and get right and get out of this immoral situation. Maybe there were some. I hope there were some. But I sure haven't heard anything about it. Just like the tribulation period, neither repented they of their murders. You think of all these rioters this summer. Wouldn't you think that with this coronavirus, they would have gotten right with God? But what did they do? They rioted. Is the last thing mentioned there, nor of their thefts. You think of all the rioting, the smashing of store windows, and the looting that took place. And even the leaders that told their police to stand down. Just let them go. Let them vent their frustrations. Total chaos. So did coronavirus put the fear of God in those people? Not in the least. Just like verse 20 said, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not. So it's been a year, for the most part, of people not fearing God, despite this plague upon us. So what should have happened in America? Number one, we should have come to the Lord in prayer. And then back in 2 Chronicles 7. Number two, we should have seen our need for the power of God. 2 Chronicles 7, 1 again. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the what? The fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. We should have been in prayer. We should have seen our need for God's power. I think back, the mega churches sat empty for weeks, some of them for many months. I think there was one in California that sat empty, and I'm thinking, I don't know if it was a third or a half of the year, so it must have been 4 to 6 months that they did not meet. That mega church, large auditorium, sat empty. And it just made me wonder, pondering all of that. I think of all the preachers who knew better than to use worldly methods to bring in the world, but because it worked, they justified it, and they might not have liked it. Some of them might not have liked it. Evidently, some of them like it because they're the very ones that get up and play the guitars and the rock music like everybody else, or drums, whatever the case might be. But I wonder during this time, as their mega church building sat empty, I wonder if there was any fleeting moments where they wished they wouldn't have compromised and allowed that music to come in or whatever it was. Because you know what? They used worldly methods and means to gain thousands, the crowds of thousands. But in a moment of time, that whole crowd was taken away. It made me wonder, did any fleeting thoughts of regret go through their minds? It reminds me of Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. As we ponder this year, 2020, I think many churches probably use that 2020 as a kind of a theme as the year started. You know, having a vision for the lost, 2020. But a lot of things were shut right down. A lot of services were shut down. I mean, we were shut out of the nursing home ministries, but they allowed us to get the DVDs in there. But, I mean, we couldn't go in there. There was a period of time when we did not go door to door because we perceived that people would be highly offended if we did because they were so afraid of germs. And so was it really a year for a focus on reaching the lost? Well, in some ways, some means were taken away from us for a time, but thankfully, God kept some doors open for us. We praise God for that. But in Judges 7, verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are what?
Too many."
Too many. Is it just a crowd that pleases God? I mean, is that a big thing with him, or is it what is being taught and thought and believed and done? You know, in Revelation chapter 3, he's seen knocking on the outside of his own church. Laodicea, he's knocking at the door. And in Gideon's instance here, God said, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Lest Israel," what? "Vaunt themselves against me, saying," what? "Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So they started out with 32,000 people. God said that's too many because they're just going to glorify themselves, not me. Verse 4. So now they're down to 10,000. "And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet," what?
"Too many."
How many times have we ever thought about that? You know, one day when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we're not going to be judged by the quantity, but the sort of our works. Of what sort they are. That is going to be of the crown or the loss of a crown. The people are yet too many. Can you imagine God coming down and saying, that's too big of a crowd. Well, you know, the setting here is that it was too big of a crowd because they had just pat themselves on the back for the victory. So he said, bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. Well, you know, they got down to verse 7. The Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you. So God took the crowd from 32,000 to 300. And then they really didn't have weapon in their hand. They had a light, a pitcher, so a trumpet. In verse 16, he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And of course, the power of it all was breaking the pitcher. The power of it all was a broken vessel. And then the light could shine. Isn't that the same with us? I mean, oftentimes it's only in our brokenness that really God can shine through. And that's what happened there. And, well, that's back in 2 Chronicles 7. That's what we should have seen our need of, is for prayer and of the power of God. And that's still our need. That's our need if God tarries his coming. It's our need for 2021. So, number one, should have come to the Lord in prayer. Number two, should have seen our need for the power of God. Number three, we should have lived for the glory of God. Once again in verse 1, 2 Chronicles 7, 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the what? The glory of the Lord, what? Filled the house. Wouldn't you love to see that? The glory of the Lord filled the house. Verse 2, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. That's my prayer for what's left of 2020, and if God tarries his coming, 2021. We need to live for God's glory and not our own. And even serving the Lord, it's so easy to try to get personal glory. And that's not what it's all about. Notice in Ephesians 3, we need to be filled with God's power. Ephesians 3. As I said Sunday, that's a question I keep asking myself. If this were Jesus, what would I do? I got a call. We were at a birthday party this week, and I got actually it was a text asking for help. Someone needed a ride. And it would have been real easy to say, sorry, I can't, I'm at a birthday party. But I'm thinking, what would Jesus do? Or if that were Jesus needing a ride, what would I do? I wouldn't even have to think twice about it. We wouldn't, would we? If that was Jesus on the line and he needed something, we would, yes, sir, I will be right there. That's the way I want to live. That is the way I want to live. Ephesians 3:19. And to Noah, the love of Christ. What about his love? Which, what? Passeth knowledge. In other words, when you're really showing the love of Christ, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, you are crazy. what do you mean? What are you doing? And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be what? Filled with all what? The fullness of God. Now, verse 20, we all want to see verse 20 happen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What about that power that worketh in us? Yes, I want to see exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. But what do you mean about that power that worketh in us? I thought it was God. You know, it's like we're like Gideon. We're like his men. There's nothing good in us. The only good about us is when we're broken so that Christ can shine through. Well, the power that worketh in us, you got to go back to verse 19. It's for us to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to be filled with the fullness of God. What do I do? We've got to know the love of Christ. He gave himself for us. He gave himself for this world. That's the love of Christ, and that's what we must do. Did we do it this last year? Will we do it in the coming year? Will we know his love? And only then, verse 21, unto him be what? Glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. How many times, though, is God really glorified in the church? Now, sometimes we hear very successful people that tell us of their great success. But is God really glorified in that? Maybe the person is getting all the glory. I guess it depends on how it is said. But if it's done right, verse 21, it's unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Today I thought back of Brother Ken Miller, and he went to the doctor. I kind of had a run-in with a medical doctor here in town one time. And so that medical doctor didn't really like me afterwards. And I wasn't unkind to him. I was just trying to be biblical with him. But he happened to be Ken Miller's doctor. And one time, Brother Ken was in there for a checkup, and the doctor said, "Ken, why are you always smiling and so happy?" And Brother Ken said, "Because I have Jesus in my heart." That was not what that doctor wanted to hear. And then something got said about where he went to church. And he says, "I go to Liberty Baptist Church." And that was another thing that doctor didn't want to hear. But he heard it anyway. But Brother Ken, what a testimony he had there. So we need to know his love. It's the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what I want for the rest of this year in my life and for the coming year. And back in 2 Chronicles 7. Verse 1, once again, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house." Nobody could be glorified but God when his glory filled the house. Not even the priest could enter into the house. Wouldn't you love to see something happen that no person could get the glory, only God? Wouldn't you love to see something like that happen? I've thought and pondered and meditated at times just being out on the street corner and giving the gospel and just to see a mighty moving of God. Wouldn't it be something to be out there on the street preaching and holding the scripture signs and just cars start stopping? And, you know, you've seen auctions, haven't you? You come across an auction and there are cars just parked everywhere in the yard and along the road. Wouldn't you love to see a moving of God like that? Just people being moved of the Spirit of God to stop and fill up the parking lots and then just start stopping in the road and getting out of their cars and coming to hear the gospel. Something that only God could get the glory for. That's what I would like to see. And that's my prayer, is that God would do something through us. Not that we could get the glory, but that he could get all the glory. That's my prayer for my personal life, for the church, for our nation, is that God would be glorified. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you would help us. Lord, 2020 has been a difficult year. Many have died. Many have died alone. Many people really haven't had a funeral of much of any sort at all. They weren't allowed to have a crowd. So they weren't praised and eulogized at their funeral. Many could not even have a normal graduation. So in front of all their peers, they were not glorified and lifted up for their great, great point average, or it's kind of a show-off time, and they didn't get to go through that after 13 years, and for many in college, things were also changed, so might have been a bachelor's, master's, doctor's degree. They thought of the glory of walking across that platform and receiving their degree, and this was the year God said, it's not going to happen. Man's not going to get glory. He's going to do many things alone. Father, it should have woke us up, because to be lost without Christ is to spend eternity alone in the torment of hell. It should have woke up the church as a whole. It should have woke up our country. But just like in the tribulation period, Lord, it didn't seem to have much effect on most people. But Lord, I pray that it would on our hearts. We know this year is not over yet. We want to be used of you. We want to know your love. We want to know your fullness. We want to see your fire, your power fall and fill the house, fill our lives, fill our tongues, fill our minds, fill our desires with glorifying you. That's our prayer, Father, we bring before you tonight. Father, if there should be any here that have never been saved, help them to realize that Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh. He came of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life, and died on that cross for our sins, was buried and rose again in victory. Father, please let no one leave here unsaved. Help us as Christians to leave here differently. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.